questions begin. Let's learn a little bit. Okay, let's discuss some old, some new ideas. Let's start with the kittel. Is there anyone here who does not wear a kittel? Anyone have a hakpada not to wear a kittel at the Seder?
Not.
Everyone here wears a kittel?
I think
yes. The Yekis,
my father did not wear
it. Black
Padre Gabor, not to. I wore, but he didn't wear it.
I know someone, he's no longer living, he went berserk over this.
He, like, didn't
he went berserk. It's, don't wear, Bedavki, don't wear a kittel at the Seder. He really went to town over this. There's no doubt about this, that there's a minig, it's citing Maril, I think the Maril even says who. I once saw a very, very early source, and obviously, go out and see what people do. The vast majority of people that we know do wear a kittel. We'll go to the second. Okay, but the vast majority of Klal Yisrael does wear a kittel at the Pesach Seder. Why? Why? What's the reason for the minhag? So there are the common reason, if you'll ask the average person, why do you wear a kittel? So there are two common reasons. Number one, it's don't get carried away at the Seder. You're drinking four cups of wine. You're surrounded by your family. You have delicious food. There's entertainment. You have your best kalim on the table. Everything is wonderful. You're attempting. The goal of the Pesach Seder is to make it the most pleasurable, the most wonderful experience. And that comes with the danger. The person can get carried away and can shamanta vayishman. Vayishman yeshurun vayivat.
Or you can look at the other one, you dress to go.
Okay, that's the other reason, fine. But the most common reason is because of the goal is to make it the most pleasurable, enjoyable.
Is that a recent minhag or is that
a... No, it seems for 1,000 years. It seems that the minhag, I think, it seems so. Yom Kippur for sure. For sure, Yom Kippur for sure. Pesach, it's not so clear how when it really caught on. When it caught on, but it's today become very, very common to wear a kittel, and it appears that it goes back, I think the Maril, if I'm not mistaken, the Avudraham, Maril, the very, very early sources to wear a kittel, which takes us back almost 1,000 years. And about 1,000 years ago, the Maril, not exact, almost 1,000 years ago. And he's saying what they did. He didn't make it up. They're not making it up. They're saying what the Goyim did, what was done before the time of the Goyim. Whatever it is, it's definitely been around, caught on in Klal Yisrael. Hanach lohem li Yisrael im einam neviim b'nei neviim. Now, why? Again, the most common reason you'll hear is because the Pesach Seder is a very wonderful, pleasurable, enjoyable experience, and it has a tendency for people to get carried away. Vayishman yishun vayivot. So in order to be mazkir, the Yom HaMisa, you put on tachrichin. The kittel is really wearing the garments of the dead. Tachrichin, it is a technique Chazal employed to humble a person, to remind the person, watch out. Behave yourself, don't get carried away. The same reason why we wear a kittel on Yom Kippur, same way a chosan wears a kittel when he goes down the chuppah, watch out. You don't know what you're getting yourself involved in. Now, what is the other reason? The other reason is white is the clothing of malochim. It's a pasuk. I don't know where the pasuk is in Daniel. It's a pasuk that the malochim, they wear white. They're dressed in white, whatever that means. Malochim al gashmis teruchnis. It is a garment of malachi hashoreis. And being that the night of Pesach is a spiritual experience, like Yom Kippur, where Malachi Hashoreis is a spiritual experience, so we dress in spiritual clothing that's nothing to do with death. Adarabah, it is a way of enhancing the spirituality of the day. Lamai Nafkamina. Nafkamina is, does an oval wear a kittel? Or does a person who is in the first year of marriage, does he wear a kittel? If it's because it is a reminder of death, so then you don't tell an Ovel about death. He knows what it's like. He's experiencing death, and don't have to compound his experience of Avelus, so he should not wear a kittel. Or if a chasam is the shana rishayna. It's a time of joy. It's not a time to go and to remind the chasam that he's going to die. Now it's not the time to think about death. Now he's entitled to have a shana rishayna, a year of joy. But if the time is because you want to be doyma to the malachi hashareis, you want to elevate yourself spiritually, then no difference. An avil should wear a kittel. A chasam the first year of marriage should wear a kittel. There are different minhagim. Everyone has their minhag. It is what it is. That's, I think, are the most two common reasons as to why we wear a kittel. Enter the darshanim. The darshanim give a whole slew of reasons, which even if the reasons are not true, even if these tamim are fabricated, they definitely bring out a point. They definitely open up a thought which is true. The thought is true, and even though the makar to say that's why you wear a kittel, you don't know what Chazal had in mind, we don't know, but it definitely opens up and puts you in a different frame of mind, a different perspective as to why you wear a kittel. So one reason, I think we said this over last year, I came across it again, one of the interesting reasons I've seen, I actually saw this again in Rabbi Daniel Gladstein's Haggadah. He put out a new Haggadah this year. No, I did not see this in his Haggadah. So this is Rabbi Druck. But I think I saw it somewhere else last year. The reason is, it's the father's last will and testament. The whole Haggadah is all about the father instructing his children. V'higadata levincha bayoyim ahu leimar. The night of the Seder is where, in essence, the father brings his children, he osfu v'yagidu lachem eis asher yikre eschem b'achares hayamim. That is really the essence of the Seder. Children, gather around. I want to tell you how to conduct yourselves, how to live your life. Okay, Yaakov Avinu said, I'm going to tell you the secrets, right? I'm going to tell you the secrets, but it's not really true. Yaakov Avinu, when he called his children around, he gave them Musar. He basically told them, at the end of the day, he told them exactly how you should conduct yourself. You should conduct yourself the rest of your life. He pointed out their strong points and their weak points, v'chulu v'chulu, gave them brachas, didn't give them the brachas, and he gave them musar and told them what they needed to hear. That's exactly what's happening at the little Seder. You're gathering your children, you're sitting around, v'higadata levincha b'yoy ma'hule mar ba'avur zeh, Also Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. You're not just telling them b'avur zeh, look, you know why Hashem took us out of Egypt? Because he gave us matzah, Pesach, this and all these stories. You're telling him b'avur zeh, you better behave yourself. This is what it's all about. There's a lot to learn from matzah, there's a lot to learn from Pesach, and history repeats itself, and these are the instructions. It's b'avur zeh, it is for this. This is the reason why we are here today. These are the instructions. These are the rules. And this is how you must behave and conduct yourself if you want to know what's good for you. In other words, the father really is presenting himself as if he's dying. I'm not going to be around forever. I'm not going to be here forever. My time is going to come, just like Yaakov Avinu. Hey, Osu, he was on his deathbed. You put in your mind that picture of a person lying on the floor, on a bed, they have candles all around him, and the family gathers together, and they say Shema Yisrael, and it's the moments before Yitzias Neshama, and the father is saying his last words, giving Musar. That is the Seder. And in order to awaken the children to this scene, the father puts on his tachrichim. He's not putting on his tachrichim in order to be mazkir the Yom HaMisa. I have to humble myself. I shouldn't get drunk and get carried away with my success and my beautiful family and my Pesach Seder. That's not the reason. The father is putting on his tachrichim and he's pretending, he's practicing. Let's practice. He osvu the agido lochem. Let's practice. Let's make believe I'm going to die. I'm going to lie down on my bed. I'm going to light the candles. And I'm going to give over to you my last will and testament. You're going to listen. If I call my children to the house, I want to go talk to you. Dad, I'm busy. I don't got time for this. I'm a busy person. I don't have time to hear what you have to say. You're not going to be paying attention. But at the time when they call up and they say, you know, Dad is about to leave this world and he's giving away his money, you're going to be there. You're going to be there for the Yerusha. You're going to be there. You're going to be there to hear his last will and testament.
How is this appropriate?
What?
How is this appropriate?
Pasuk says, V'higadata, because this is what's important. Once a year, dress rehearsal. V'higadata levincha b'yoyim alhu leymar b'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. What's important to teach your children is to be shomrei Torah mitzvos, to be yirei Elokim, to be ma'aminim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire nusach of the Seder is to teach children emuna. That's my last will and testament. My last will and testament to you is not about how many cars you should have and how many vacations you should go on and how to spend your money. No, my last will and testament to you, my children, is to be Yireim Ushleimim Balei Emuna. That's what the Haggadah is all about. Ba'avur Zeh. It's all about that Hashem, Pasach Hashem Ala Pesach, Hashem went and he took you out of Egypt in order, Ki Li B'nei Yisrael Avodim, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way you do this service is you demonstrate is you put on the kittel. You make believe it's now time to go. It's tachrichim time. It's a dress rehearsal. And you give the children mussar as the person who's going to die.
Shock therapy and don't shelter.
Say it again? What
do you? Shock therapy and don't shelter.
Well, isn't that what this is? This is the shock therapy. Shock therapy. We live in such a different world. Like I tell you, today, if you take out any Sefer Torah today, and you open up the Aseres HaDibros, what does it say? Any Sefer Torah today, in any shul today, Kabeid es bincha v'yaspitecha. They change the nusach, don't you know? It doesn't say anymore in the Torah, Kabeid es bincha v'yasimecha, Kabeid es bincha v'yaspitecha.
When you sit down to the Seder, that should be your thought, that the leader of the Seder is going to die, and it's a very...
That's real life. The goal is... The goal... Who says it's supposed to be happy? Who says it's supposed to be happy? This has been brainwashed that it's a happy experience. The night of the Seder is a night of... It's a moment of teaching. It is a sheer klali. It's a sheer klali in Hilchos Deos V'Chovos HaLevavos.
I want to tell you, it really rings true what you just said for one simple reason. Because the last year of my father's life, the morning after the second Seder at my sister's house, he said, I want to talk to you. And he told me this was going to be our last Seder together because he knew he was dying and he wanted to tell me and give me his last instructions. He died a few months later because he knew. We didn't realize.
Spooky.
But he sat me down. I knew what he was going to say. And my wife told me, I'm crazy. My sister said, I'm nuts. And he said, don't tell anybody. I'm telling you because you're my son. And he gave me all the instructions. Who should even speak at the funeral?
And who should not speak at the funeral?
That's it. And he wrote it down, and then he said, that's not fair. I'll write it down, and if he insists, show it to him.
On Pesach. Ooh!
After Pesach. No, that didn't do it. So this is, it is... Mr. Marillis, we live in a world today where we're spoiled, and everything, you have to feel good. Everything feel good, and you have to encouragement, and you're not allowed...
It's not a happy... It's an exalted occasion.
Which comes enormous responsibility. It's a very, you know, everyone is different. Obviously, you cannot generalize. Every single person is a different situation, a different type of family, different. You can't, you know, it's there. But everyone agrees that the night of Pesach, the Lel Seder is a learning experience. Good morning, Rabbi Wolf. Shalom Aleichem. It is a learning experience. It is a time to teach, and to some degree, this is a dress rehearsal. It is an example of Hey Osfu V'Agida Lachem Eis Asher Yikre Eschem B'Acharis Hayamim. You're giving instructions as if a person, the father, is on his deathbed and wants to make an impression upon his children how they should conduct themselves for the rest of their lives. And it should be with Yirah Shamayim and with Emunah. That is for sure what the Seder is all about. So just taking this idea and taking note that the father is dressed in a white kittel and the children are dressed in regular clothing, and their father is dressed like he's dying, he's wearing tachrichim, he's wearing the same thing he's going to wear when he dies, is a way of shock therapy. You know, you got to get serious in life. I have to let you know what life is really all about. I have to guarantee my legacy. My legacy is not money. My legacy is Yirat Shamayim. Okay, enough said. Let's go to another idea of why you wear a kittel. This is an interesting idea. I saw this yesterday. This idea is from Rav Pinchas Friedman. Rabbi Daniel Gladstein says in the conversation with Rabbi Pinchas Friedman, he told him this idea. It's an original idea. Rabbi Pinchas Friedman is a very, he doesn't need my introduction, is an exalted Talmud Chacham, one of the biggest Bali Darshanim of this generation. He's a Belz Chassid. He writes in the newspaper in Eretz Yisrael, a column every week, which is a very highly respected column on original ideas in Drush. And every year his chidushim are published in a very chashuv sefer. And in addition, he put many other svarim. He learns bechavrusa every single day for many hours with the Belza Rebbe, Shlita. He's a very big Talmud Chacham, a very well-respected person. And he had a conversation. He told him an original idea of why you wear a kittel. And he says in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Im doy merabcha l'malach Hashem tzivakos yivakshu Torah mipiyu." You have a question. Who do you want to be your Rebbe? You have children, you want to send your children to a yeshiva. Where should you send your children? To which yeshiva should you send your children? Should you send them to a yeshiva where they hire people that are not shomer Torah mitzvahs to teach them chumash? Or should you send your children to a yeshiva where the Rebbeim are Yirei Shamayim? So obviously, if you have a choice, of course, no question about it. In the Gemara it says, Im doime rabcha, if your Rebbe is doime to a malach Hashem tzivakos, yivakshu toira mipiyu, seek him out. And if the Rebbe is not doime to a malach Hashem tzivakos, go far away. It's poison. A Rebbe has to be a Yorei Shamayim. That's the first thing. The first thing of a Rebbe, before you get involved in how many degrees he has, his pedagogical skills, does he have a good bedside manner? Okay, does he dress nice? Is he polished? Is he professional? Does he have a good vocabulary? Is he a pleasant? Is he an abuser? Before you get involved in anything, first qualification of a Rebbe is he doime l'malach Hashem tzivokos in Yirat Shamayim? I told you the story 2 or 3 weeks ago about there was a menahel in Borough Park. I don't remember the name, who the person was. It was supposed to be a very chashuv person. And there was an opening in the yeshiva in the elementary school. And there were many highly recommended candidates that tried out for the job. And this distinguished menahel, he sat in the model lesson to see who the candidate is. And they came with the highest recommendations. And there was a younger man, he came to be a Rebbe in the elementary school. And he gave a model lesson, and this menahel sat the entire thing with someone else. And when the class was over, the other person said to the menahel, "Nu, what do you think? You're not going to get a better teacher than this. This is phenomenal, this person." So the menahel says, "Under no condition will this person be a Rebbe in my yeshiva. Under no condition." And the assistant was in shock. "Why not? What are you talking about?" So he says, in the entire lesson, he did not mention Hashem's name even once. He didn't say Hashem. He spoke about the Chumash, the Pasuk, this. The word Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was not said even once. Under no condition is this a person that we want to expose our children to. Under no condition. And I told you a parallel story with a Baruch Ber Leibowitz, the famous Baruch Ber. There was a younger man, I heard this in Mitzvah Shabbos by a certain, I forgot the name of the Rav, and he became a Rav out of town somewhere in a shul, the modern shul, and when he was hired, they told him there's a balabas here that remembers Rav Baruch Ber. He's a zokain, a very old person, but he was a Talmud by Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz. How old was he? I don't know the details. So, let me meet him. He finally met him. He asked him, "Nu, tell me about Rav Baruch Ber." And I'm going to tell you, he pushed him away. The next day, when the Rav, the new young Rav, came to shul, this old balabas was standing on the steps of the shul waiting for the Rav to come. And he told the Rav, I remembered a story. I want to tell you a story of Baruch Be'er. I don't remember very much, but this I remember. I was in the first shir, the shir, when he gave the psicha shir from Masechet Bava Metzia. And of Baruch Be'er opened up the Gemara, and he said, Shnayim oichazin betalas. Two people holding, grabbing the talis. Ze oimer kulashali. Veze oimer kulashali. And Baruch Be'er said, the Eibishter, the Ribboino Shel Olam says, the Ribboino Shel Olam paskins, Yachloiku. He didn't say Yachloiku. The Mishnah doesn't say the Ribboino Shel Olam. It says, Shtaymach Zemetal, the Zaymer Kulashali, the Zaymer Kulashali, Yachloiku. You know how he teaches the Gemara Baruch Be'er? The Ribboino Shel Olam says, Yachloiku. That was the story. And basically, this Manal said the same. Imdoime Rabcha Lemala Hashem Tzivakos Yivakshu Toira Mipu. After he's a Yerushamayim, everything else is good. He has 20 degrees, he's a pedagogue, and he has a gewaldig vocabulary, and he's clean and fresh and crisp and dynamic. Alamilas. He wears nice glasses here.
There's another story of someone now that was interviewing, I don't know who was interviewing who. And the guy comes for an interview, okay, he said, we'll come back tomorrow, we'll do another interview. And he said, Bishamayfin, no. Why? He tells over, because when he walked in both times, he didn't kiss the mezuzah.
Okay, I heard the story also. Okay, he didn't kiss the mezuzah.
Who it was or whatever.
Okay, okay, there's something to it. There's something to it. Can everyone kiss the mezuzah?
Slabotka, Marcha wanted to go in there. This was after Sukkos, you know, for the next month. Everything was fine, but then, when he left, he saw that he was, he stepped over the wood, the walls of the Sukkos.
He stepped on the schach. He didn't have the derech eretz. He didn't know, he stepped on the schach. So he didn't have a certain sensitivity. Okay, so what's the, so the rule is, Imdoime rabcha lemala Hashem tzivakos yivakshu tarde mipiu. Vimlav al yivakshu.
You just mentioned the bells of the rabbi. I just said to say Tehillim for him.
Who? Pinchas Friedman?
No, from the bells of
the
Rebbe.
The bells of Rebbe?
There was something in the wake of the bells of Rebbe's health issues over the past few weeks. Because
he's very strong.
He's very weak?
He has diabetes.
He's very, yeah. Okay, you should have refuah shleima. The bells are Rebbe. Sure, for Shalema. So he says something very, it's a very simple but profound vart. And he says the reason why the father is wearing his kittel is because the kittel that we mentioned before is the clothing of a malach. White. White is the garment of a malach. And so the simple pshat is, we learned when we start, is because it's Pesach. It's a holy night. Yetzias Mitzrayim. You have to dress it. You have to dress like Malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, Klali showed special love. The Klali showed. It's the clothing of a Malach for one reason. The father has to understand that if he wants to be successful in teaching his children, that the children should be Yivakshu Torah Mipihu, he has to be a malach. It was like a reminder of the whole year. I have a friend who told me, he blows shofar. That's what he told me. He blows shofar in a very chashuva place on Rosh Hashanah. And this person, you know, he's a wild guy. He's no, how did he get the job to be able to blow shofar in this place? I have no idea. He's a wild guy. He told me, you don't understand what it does for me. There are many times during the year where I have nisyonos. And I would really do things that I should not do as a Orthodox from Eruch Ben Torah. And I'm about to do it. And then I remember, you know, I have to blow shofar in a couple of months. And I'm going to be blowing shofar for some very chashuva people who are going to be in the audience. I'm going to be Rashi Yeshivas, chashuva people. How did I get the job? I don't know. How come they didn't fire me by now? I don't know. But I have the chazaka, and they're not throwing me out, and they're letting me blow shofar, and in the audience are people that I'm afraid of. And I can't go do this avera and then go blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. I can't. So you know what? I'm not going to do the avera. It saves him. It saves him. The achrayas, it dwells on his head. The night of Pesach Seder, this is what it's supposed to be. is the father is the magid. The father is the object of Yivakshu Torah Mipiyu. Vihigadita Levincha Bayoy Mahu Lemar. The father is giving over the Mesorah to his children. It's not going to work. The Torah says, Im Doime Rab, the father becomes the Rebbe. Im Doime Rabcha Lemalach Elokim Tzivokois. Yivakshu Torah Mipiyu. Vihim Lav, Al Yivakshu Torah Mipiyu. How am I going to be able to give over the Mesorah to my children, Lil Pesach, if I'm not who I make believe I am? So to order to rub it in, to basically rub it into the father, why don't you put on a kittel the night of the Seder? You know why you're going to put on a kittel? Because you're the Rebbe tonight. You're the Rebbe. You're the one to whom Yivakshu Torah Mipiyu. Do you want to be matzliach in giving over the Mesorah to your children? You certainly do. But to do so, you have to be with the program. You have to be a malach. So dressed, you get dressed up. Put on the kittel to remind you that you're the malach Elohim Tzivakos, and that memory will stay in your mind the whole year to remind you, to remind you that to be successful in giving over, you have to really be toichoi kebaroi im doime rabcha lemalach Elohim Tzivakos. The garment of a malach is white. Okay, that now I'll give you a story to supplement this example. I heard this on Shabbos from an official Shachter. Official Shachter on Shabbos, he gives the Shabbos a Gildosh or Yitzhak. He actually said this by Shal Shuris. He said there was a Maisa where a person went to the Amshin of a Rebbe. And he told him, Rebbe, you're my Rebbe. I get a Mazel Tov, I had an Einikol, and I want to give you Sandikois for the bris. So the Rebbe said, you're not the Balabas to give me Sandikois. It's your Einikol, so it's your son is the Balabas, who he's the one who decides who gets to be the Sandik. So he said, Rebbe, my son gave me the Sandikos. He already told me I'm the Sandik, and I'm now giving it to you. So the Rebbe says, why don't you want to take it? It's a beautiful thing to be the Sandik of an Einikol. So he says, I'm not an Erlucha person. I want the Sandik to be an Erlucha person. My son wants me. I'm not give it to you. I want you to be. So the Rebbe says, when's the bris? 3 days. 3 days left. So the Rebbe says, you have 3 days to become an Erlich Yid. You got 3 days. Plenty of time. Plenty of time. Work on yourself for 3 days. You'll be an Erlich Yid and you can be the Sandik. Okay, that's the same thing. Pesach is coming. Pesach is coming, and people are making their preparations. They're taking out their kittel. When you go to the hotel, don't forget to take the kittel with you. I'm sure in the very upper end hotels, they have spares. They probably have a whole closet. You know, they don't want you to be embarrassed. So you come back next year. The bathroom. Oh, really? You come out of the bathroom. Come with the kittel. Right, you go to the hotel. You got to prepare the kittel for the seder. When you prepare the kittel for the seder, it's a reminder. You know, you got to be doime lemalach Elokim Tzivokos in order to be matzliach in Yivakshu Torah Mipiyu. It's a wake up call. You got a couple of days left to work on yourself. To be that Malach Elokim Tzivokai, so you should be matzliach, successful in giving over whatever you want to give over to your children. Let's go to another idea on Kittel. This made a roshim on me. This idea I saw in, I think, Rabbi Druk, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Druk. They recently published many, 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 many svarim. One they published a Haggadah. I don't even know if it's this year or last year. I think it's this year they put out the Haggadah. But I was browsing through it and I saw another idea, which would be another very beautiful idea. What was the first reason we spoke about tachrich, about wearing a kittel? A kittel is tachrichen. This is the garment of the dead. And we said, Pashup Shat, you wear a kittel, Lord, don't get carried away. You know, don't get carried away with your beautiful family and your success and everything is so fine and good. Calm down. He says something different. You're not wearing a kittel because I'm going to die. I'm going to die. You're wearing a kittel because it's a zecher, a reminder of techiyas hamesim. You're going to come back to life. Die, we're all going to die. Okay, many people already gave up on themselves. Or they're gone. They're goners. Okay, we're goners. Do you want to come back? Do you want to come back to life? Do you want to be part of techiyas hamesim? What's it going to be like for you when you come back by techiyas hamesim? The kittel is a zecher, not a zecher, it's an anticipation of techiyas hamesim. That's a whole different world of commentary. When you put yourself in a frame of mind, like, techiyas hamesim, what is that? What does that mean exactly? What does it mean? Where are you going to live? How are you going to have money? You know, once the person is gone, everything is gone. What kind of ruchnius? How are you going to have room for the whole world? To all the dead are going to come back. What age are you going to come back at? Are you going to come back as a 90-year-old man? Are you going to come back as a teenager? All of these questions, they're all very disturbing questions. That's the goal. Oz Yosher Moshe Mikan L'Tchiyas HaMesim. There are many different mekoros for Tchiyas HaMesim in the Torah. The whole idea of Geula is an element of Tchiyas HaMesim. It's a Tchiyas HaMesim of the Neshama. Is here in the Memteh Shari Tuma, and it's Shaykh to pick yourself up at the Memteh Shari Tuma. This is a gather of Tchiyas HaMesim. It's not, it's the garment of the dead, but the goal is not to be depressed. You're going to die. Calm down. Din v'cheshbon in the next world. No. This is how I'm going to be dressed when I come out of the ground. This is, I'm wearing right now the very same garment. There's no hat. Whatever. I'm wearing a kittel. This is the way I'm going to look when I come out of the grave. Not when I go into the grave. When I come out of the grave. What kind of experience is that going to be? It's like a geula. I mean, every person to each their own. It's something that many people don't think about. People think about dying, and they think about din v'cheshbin. I don't think the average person thinks about their own techiyas hamesim. They think about their parents. They think about all the people they don't like. Oh no, this guy's back in town. I thought I buried him already. I got rid of him. Oh no, he's going to bother me, this guy. He's back. They think about their parents, their grandparents. How often do you think about yourself coming back? Tchiyas HaMesim. Isn't that what Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim is all about? People who really gave up on themselves. When they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the pasuk? Yishbait. End of Shemos. When they saw Moshe Rabbeinu, they said that may Hashem judge you for what you've done to us. Hivashtem Esrecheinu. The people they gave up. They said, let's go back to Amidli Ein Kavanah B'Mitzrayim. Argeinu. And then later by Kriya, Amidli Ein Kavanah B'Mitzrayim. They gave up on themselves. And here they are, by Matan Torah, by Yitzias Mitzrayim, the whole story. It's a mamash techiyas hamesim. We never expected this. Think about techiyas hamesim for yourself. So sach hakol, we are like four or five perushim, tchiyah of the kittel, the pashim shad is, don't get carried away. Number two, it's a time of spirituality. Nafgamina, a chosan, a nafgamina, an ovel. But then the darshanim, they embellish the kittel with many ideas. It's not mukhruch that these ideas is what Chazal had in mind, but the ideas definitely are true in that it puts us in a different frame of mind. It's a tzavas shchiv mera. He osfu ve'agida lechem eisa shayikra eschem yachas hayamim. It's imdoy merabcha lemalach lekim tzivokas. Imdoy merabcha lemalach lekim yivakshu toira mipiu. And it's a zecher for techiyas hamesim. This is how I'm going to be dressed when I come back to life. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea, Rabbi Daniel Glatzin has a beautiful appendix about this. that numbers. Okay, the number we're talking about, how many brachos does a person recite from the beginning of the Seder until he eats the matzah?
Seven / 2,
it's really 9. How do you have really 9 brachos? It all depends how you count. There are many different ways to count. He actually goes through many commentators who make many very interesting calculations in how you get to numbers, these numbers. But I think Parshat Shad, it's fair to say there are 9 blessings. What are the 9 blessings? First is Bar Priagofen, Kiddush, Bar Priagofen. And then you make Kiddush, that's number 2. Asher Bochar, Bonu Mikol Om, V'rem, Bonu Mikol Oshayim. And then you have Shachianu. Okay, that's already 3. Then you make the bracha of Bari Priyat Dhamma, right? Bari Priyat Dhamma on the Karpas. And then you make the bracha Asher Goal Oysanu. At the end of the first half of Halal, there's a full bracha. Asher Goal. So what are we up to?
5.
And then Netilas Yodayim is 6. And then Motzi Lachem in Oretz. And Alachilas Matzah. How many is that?
8.
There's one. Don't. We're not done yet. I have them over here. And Mara, right? But Mara comes after. No. I said it's talking. Let's talk about Bari Priya Gefen Kiddush Shosayim and Shachianu is 3. Oh no, I'm sorry. Another Bari Priya Gefen. Bari Priya Gefen. There's another Bari. The second Bari Priya Gefen. That's 9. That's 9. Okay, so Sachakol. Mara is later. Before you eat the matzah, let's review. There are 9 blessings. Boire pri hagofen is the first bracha you're going to make the night of the Seder. And then you're going to make the bracha of Kiddush. Asher bochar bonu mikol ha'om. Rem bonu mikol loshoin. Then you make a shechianu, that's 3. Then you're going to make a bracha boire pri ha'adama, you're going to wash without a bracha. And you're going to make a boire pri ha'adama on the karpas. And then you're going to recite the Haggadah. At the end of the Haggadah, you recite Asher Goal Oysanu. And then you're going to make another Bari Priya Gofen. And then you're going to wash. And you're going to make Al Netilas Yodayim. And then you're going to make Hamotzi Lechem Min Oretz. And then Al Achilas Matzah. There are 9 blessings that are recited from the beginning of the Seder until you eat the Mitzvahs Hayoim. The Mitzvah Deraisa, the Nama the Mehemnusa. The bread of faith, 9 blessings. When else do we have 9 blessings in our liturgy? There's only one other time when you have in one shot. Very good. I didn't think about that. That's a very good Jewish. Chaymer l'Jewish. Chaymer l'Jewish. Musaf, there are 9 blessings. That's right. Correct. You're both wearing the kittel at the same time. You're wearing the kittel. It's very good. There is a lot of connection between the Pesach Seder and Yom Kippur. Mosi l'shana b'av Yushalayim. Okay, you buy kittel, and it both involve eating or not eating. Okay, there is inui verse nechal besoiva. It's very interesting. This taku, there are a lot of similarities, and you have the 9 blessings. But there's another time, at least the way we do it today, not only today, the way it's always done, a wedding, the full process of marriage. In order for the chasan and kala to live together from beginning to end, are 9 blessings. There's erisin, and then there is asher osar lanu es harusos v'hit lanu es nesus lanu dechul v'kedushin, and that is erisin harayim b'kudeshes. And then there are 7 brachas. Chasan b'loy kala b'loy bracha is asur l'bala kenida. You can't go. You cannot conclude the marriage until there are 7 blessings. So Sach HaKol, we do it today in one shot. There are 9 blessings in order to create the bond between the Chos and Kala, the Erisin and the Nisuin. So the Jewish is, here we go on this Jewish, the one very specific is that, obvious, it's very true, is that, what? Okay, that's another chazal which anyone who eats there it says she's already called an arusa. That chazal is problematic for what I want to tell you, because that anyone who eats matzah erev Pesach is kilu boyel arusasa. But to become arusasa, you already have to have made 2 brachas. So night of Pesach, we're starting with zero. Okay, you're starting with all nine being done at night. So it's not a kasha, but that's on Jewish, you can't ask kashas. But put that aside for now. But the process of this is Chazal, is that a chosen kala is just a dogma for the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. We are Hashem's Arusasai. We are Hashem's Kala, okay, and the process of marriage, it's a dogma. You know, by the Hasidim, it's very big. They have a mitzvah tans because it's a dogma of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it's not a coincidence that there are nine blessings. And in fact, it's not even so hard to match up the blessings. To match up Shakol Baruch L'Chvod, maybe we'll try to do that in a few moments, if we can, to match up the nine, if you were to match up which bracha of the that you recite on the night of Pesach before you eat the matzah corresponds to which one of the nine blessings that are said in the process of getting married. Maybe we'll do that in a few moments. But before we get to that, there's something else I want to bring out. When you go to a wedding and you make the nine, at least the way we do it today, and you can't just dismiss it that it's just, you know, hanach, just, you know, just, it just came about because we don't know what we're doing. During those nine blessings, in between the two and the seven, we read the ksuba. We read the ksuba. We also read quite a bit at the Seder when we go through these nine blessings. We read the Haggadah. What does it say in the ksuba? Okay, it talks about death. It doesn't really say the word death in the ksuba. But the basic ksuba everyone knows is that in the case of death or divorce, you get money. You get first picks. You're guaranteed to get the 200 skukim kesef. That's really all it needs to say. But it's interesting that the ksuba that we have today has been embellished. And the ksuba today is a very sacred document. No one today is going to play with the ksuba. The Tanoim, I could show you a book. Netta Gavril has at least 100 Tanoim. 100 Tanoim. Okay, some people don't even do Tanoim today. But the Tanoim, but the ksuba, no one's playing with the ksuba. The ksuba's text is sacred. Mamish sacred. There's some svarad in there, maybe a few little teeny things. But by the Ashkenazim, the nusach is etched in stone. They don't add, detract one word from the ksuba. There are certain words, if the kala is not a psula, the kala doesn't have a father, debe nosha, mibe avua, is it going to be a psulta? Okay, there are certain things, but generally the template is sacred. And part of that sacred template are the words, and this is something which is embellished. It's not part of the main purpose of the ksuba, is v'ano eflach, I will work, v'ano eflach, v'oiker, no jokes now, v'ano eflach, I know all the jokes, don't worry, v'ano eflach, I will work, v'oiker, I will give honor, v'ezoin, I will provide mozoin, Va'afarnes, and provide parnasa. What does parnasa really mean? That's a tough question. Yosichi lichi. That's quite an expression for the word you. Yosichi lichi, just say you, or don't say anything. Obviously, it's you. Yosichi lichi. Two words which mean you. You, the bride. Kehilchois guvrin Yehudoi, like the laws of Jewish men. Oh, what is the non-Jewish wedding over here? What is this over here? go to the laws of Jewish men. Oh, we get it. This is intermarriage here. If this was an intermarriage, it wouldn't have to be a ksuba to begin with. And then we repeat the whole thing all over again. The polchin, the oikrin, the zonin, umefarnesin, nishehon, their wives. And we add now one more word. Bekushta. Now, all of this whole elaboration, is totally not necessary. It's not what the ksuba is about. The ksuba is about, just in case I die, or there's a divorce, you'll get approximately $30,000. And probably there'll be a big fight, so you'll have to pay that. You'll have to pay it, not me. But the ksuba should just be basically one line, like a prisbal. A little card, a little teeny card, and the little teeny card says, in case of death or divorce, you will get your ksuba v'zehu. That's all I need to say. It's a little teeny car. He write a, he signed a prizbul erev shmita after davening, after he said ataras nedarim. That's how big the ksuba should be. And yet we have his whole megillah, a ganza megillah, which is all these fancy things. And part of it is what it starts, that this person, Pliny ben Pliny, has decided to get married to this woman, and guess what? She wants to marry him. That's what it, wow! Shu, you want to marry this? Ever see by the ksubits with tzvoyis moras shendel bas so and so? Can you imagine a rabbi goes to a wedding and he reads the ksuba with tzovi and this man so and so Pliny ben Pliny wants to marry this woman bas utzvoyis bas shendel to marry lehevi loy leintoy? So the rabbi stops. What? What? You want to marry him? It says here in this document. Are you out of your mind? You want to marry him? I understand if your parents forced you. You know, they drag you down the aisle. Okay. But it says that you really want to marry him? Are you out of your mind? Or you can get better. Just joking. But the ksuba, there's a lot of embellishment. Why? Why? I don't know why, but it's there. And the most significant embellishment by far are those opening words. Va'ano eflach v'oiker v'ezoin v'afarnes yosichi lichi. I will work, I will honor, I will provide food and sustenance and all of your provisions. You, kehilchois, govern Yehudoin, like Jewish men, the polchin, we repeat, the polchin, the oikrin, who work and honor and provide mezoinos and parnasa. And now we add one more word, bekushta. What does it mean, bekushta? Kushta means with truth, integrity, or it means continuously. I'm not going to take a break. In the context of the ksuba, many mefarshim learn the word bekushta means like mayim kizuvim. There's springs that sometimes there's water and sometimes there's no water. When you go in the winter, there's no water. You go in the spring, there is water. That's mayim kizuvim, waters that lie. They're liars. You go to the spring, you expect there, when you turn on the faucet, the water comes out. If the water doesn't come out times of the year, then that faucet is a liar. Sometimes, yeah, sometimes not. The husband guarantees he will provide for his wife continuously, b'li hefsek, without any break. It's very interesting. You go into the nusach of if you go into the nusach of the Haggadah, you have to. I didn't prepare this well. Work out all the details, but libi oimer li that if you would spend time on this, you can find some depth and a lot of similarities in the Haggadah, that every single thing that it says in this Nusach is in the Haggadah. Number one, and in fact, the Nusach of the Haggadah is formulated in the same, this Nusach, maybe that we say in the Ksuba, has been extracted from the Haggadah. How does the Haggadah start? Avodim hayinu lefaro. Work. We were slaves. We were avodim. To whom were we avodim to? We worked. Polchen. We were working for the wrong employer. We were working for an employer who didn't give us benefits, didn't give us time off for Shabbos and Yom Tov, who didn't give us bonuses, who didn't give us a pension, who didn't give us, conditions, healthy working conditions, pleasant working conditions. And now Hashem took us out of Egypt. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. The whole Haggadah begins with Polchen. Hashem, we're going to work. We're going to work for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What else is saying that? I mean, who's me, Omar al-Mi? Who's speaking? Is Hashem the one who's Kav Yochel saying, I'm going to go work for you? Are we working? It's a two-way, the Haggadah is a little bit different. But the concept, let's at least look at the concepts. Forget about mi omar el mi. That's another layer of interpretation. Mi omar el mi, but the concept of working, that's the opening line. After the children Esther Manishtana, Avodim hayinu lefaro. It's all about work. Oikrin, to give honor. Halal is not the ultimate halal. V'noyma lefanav shir chadash haluka. We start the halal. Is giving honor. But oikrin, v'zonin umefarnesin. Provide you with sustenance. What have we selected to read in the Haggadah? This is the age-old question. And there are only hundreds of answers. There are many passages in Tanakh and Chumash, Tanakh, that we could have selected. Don't pick a passage. Talk about it in your own words to describe the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Which passage have Chazal selected to be the means of discussing Yitzias Mitzrayim? Parish of Bikurim. And what does it say there? The story of Yaakov Avinu. And what does it say there? Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided. Yaakov Avinu was destitute. He, Esav Elifaz, took away all of his wealth. And what are the words? The words are, Tseu Lamad, Ma Bikesh, Lovon harami lasas liyakov avinu shapar loy gazer el alzcham v'lov mikesh lakar esakol arami oyviravi vayered mitzrayim vayogeshem b'msemar v'yisham l'gud losum v'rov vayered mitzrayim. Okay, he goes on exactly in the pesukim there mentioned he went down to work. He went and we read over there we did not have sustenance. The whole story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. If Yitzias Mitzrayim in general and with Yaakov as well is where my son of similar bottom is, I don't have what to eat. I don't have food. I have to work for 20 years. Yaakov Avinu worked for 20 years by Lavan for food. Sustenance. Why did Klal Yisrael find themselves in Egypt? There's no food. There was a ra'av. There was a famine. Shamati ki yeshever b'mitzrayim. There's food. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for us Ezoin. Not did Hashem only provide for us the Ezoin, the food. He gave us Parnasa. He gave us everything. Okay, Parnasa is like there are different interpretations of what part. How do you differentiate between the word Ezoin umefarnes? One refers to the basics, others refers to like bonuses, enhancements. It has to be worked out in more detail. And, or you can, maybe you want to say is shelter, you know, afanis is shelter. If you get someone food. Okay, you're starving, here's a loaf of bread. I'm homeless. If I stay in the street, someone's going to come and harm me. Someone's going to come attack me. They're going to do with me averos. I need shelter. Someone, Parnassus, like shelter. Hashem protected us from the Egyptians. Hashem brought upon them the Makos. They tried to harm us. Vayoreu oisanu ha-mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheltered us. Parnassa. Yosichi lichi. Now, I don't know. You have to work what this means exactly. It's a very strange expression. Yosichi lichi. Very specific. Very specific, you, my kala, you, with an expression of endearment. There's no question that an entire story of Yitzias Mitzrayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Klal Yisrael a very special designation. A very special designation in the precision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only wiped out the firstborns of Egypt. And Klal Yisrael was spared. All of the Makos. The Mako was with laser-guided, targeted precision that only the Mitzrayim suffered and not Klal Yisrael. Now here comes the part that I really like. And then also, Kilchus Gurvin Yehudon. Like the law of Jewish men. What is the Pesach? The only mitzvah that it says this Nusach is by the Kurban Pesach. V'chol b'necho lo yoichal boy. Benechor lo yochal bo ki hilcho is govern Yehudoin. They are tayag mitzvahs. Does it say by one of the tayag mitzvahs the chol benechor don't do the mitzvah? Doesn't say. It's obvious. It's self understood that if you're a benechor, then you're not in the tayag mitzvahs. When it comes to Korban Pesach, just in case you forgot, anyone out there forgot that the Korban Pesach is only for the Jews. Oh, good you reminded me. I would think we can give it to the Goyim. It's a Mamash Apella. Tell me by the Ksuba, you have to say this. Ki Hilchos Guvrin Yehudoin. Oh, what is this? It's intermarriage here. This wedding over here. The Chazal wrote a Ksuba for Goyim? Again, there's more work that has to be done to understand the connection. I'm just throwing out an idea. But the whole Malchus of Pesach is this is something for Kihilchus Yehudin Guvrin Yehudoin. And then we chaz the Ganze Zachul over again. And then comes to the Polchin, the Oikrin, the Zonin, Umefarnesin, Esnishehon, their wives, Bekushta. Bekushta, where did Bekushta come into the picture? Bekushta with MS. After we finish eating the Shulchan Aruch, what do? You open up the door, you fill up the Kois Shel Eliyahu. We mentioned this many, many times. What is the essence, the defining characteristic of Eliyahu HaNavi? What is his uniqueness more so than anyone else in Tanakh? Even more than Yaakov, you can argue. Who? What is the Midah? The Midah of Emes. Look at the Gemara. The Gemara has a question. What is the Halacha? Teiku. What is Teiku commonly translated as? Okay, even though I always try to knock it. I love to knock that vart. Tishbu Yitareitz Kushyoitz Ve'abayas. Who invented that? That's a modern acronym. We have to wait for Eliyahu HaNavi. He will tell us the answer. He will tell us the emes. Eliyahu is written Choser 5 times. He's missing a vav 5 times. This the last week, the Haftarah. Hine Enoch Yisraelim is Eliyahu HaNavi.
Yaakov has the vav 5 times.
Why titein emes liYaakov? Yaakov is the midah of emes. Yaakov says, Eliyahu, you're a fake. You're a fake. Where are you? Where are you? Where'd you go? How come you don't come? Where's the emes? Until you prove yourself, I'm taking away your vavs. Because Yaakov is the guardian of emes. The mahus of Eliyahu HaNavi is, before Mashiach can come, if Mashiach comes, people will say, who says he's Mashiach? There cannot be an appreciation of the Melech HaMashiach unless there is first an appreciation of emes. If you don't have a measuring rod, a way to define emes, then how is Mashiach going to come? Who says this is the false Messiah? Okay, we have a whole history of the false Messiah. Before Mashiach comes, we have to know that this is the Mashiach of emes. We have to have a way to measure emes and sheker. Who is the one that is going to guarantee that the Mashiach that was going to present himself is the real deal? Is not another false Messiah? Hine anoichi sholeach lachem eis Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi's specialty is emes. He will come and he will lay out the litmus test. He will present the meter for emes and sheker. Oh, now when Mashiach comes, we know it's the Mashiach of emes. Now that we've gone through the whole geula, va'ano eflach ve'oiker, ve'ezoin, ve'afarnes, yosichi lichi, ki hilchos guvern Yehudoin. This is your mamash reading. You're reading the Haggadah. We're talking about working. We're talking about sustenance. You talk the whole Haggadah said about the lechem oini, sustenance, parnasa, shelter to protect you from your enemies, kavod, halel. And then we go and we repeat the ganze zach all over again and we say one more word, bekushta. You open up the door. Eliyahu HaNavi now already. Now now it's time for Nochamol. Ibchazr in the whole Haggadah. But now, because now we've learned the lesson of the Goyal, of what the Gula Rishayna, Now we're ready for the Gula Acharoina. And the chilik between the Goyal Rishon and the Goyal Acharoina is, the Goyal Acharoina is going to come with Bekushta. There's going to be an Eliyo HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yoyim HaShem. When Moshe Rabbeinu came, there was no Eliyo HaNavi. Think about that. There's a dimion between the Goyal Rishon and the Goyal Acharoin. By the Goyal Acharoin, it says, Hinei Anochi Yishlechem Eis Eliyo HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yoyim Hashem. There's going to be first Eliyahu HaNavi. Where was the Eliyahu HaNavi before the coming of Moshe Rabbeinu? There wasn't. There wasn't. Why wasn't there? I don't know. But look at the Haggadah, look at the Ksuba. Eflach, Oiker, Ezen, Afarnes, Yosichi, Lich, Kilchus, Guven, Yehudon. There's no Kushla. There is no Eliyahu. It wasn't needed. We didn't need it. Chveis, whatever, you have to... But now, when we're ready for the Gula Shlema, the Goyal Acharoin, it's going to be Eflach, Oiker, Ezoin, Afarnes, Yosichi Lichi, Kihilchus Guven Yehudoin. The Polchin, the Oikrin, the Zonin, the Mefarnes Nes Nesheoin, Bekushta. Hine Anochi Shrelchav Eis Elyonavi Lifnei Bo Yoyim Hashem. There are 9 brachos. Keneged, the 9 blessings that are said in matrimony. And just like when we have a ceremony of marriage, in between the brachos, we read the ksuba. In between our 9 brachos, all integrated, we read the ksuba. And the essence of the Haggadah is polchin, Oikrin, Zonin, Mefarnesin, Yosichi, Lichi, Kihilchus, Guven, Yehudon, Bekushta. Thus the etz and the mahus of the Haggadah is mamish, the nusach of the ksuba. Okay, there's more to this. I'm not going to do it now, but basically the Rosh Tevis is, notice the brachas. Borei Priho Adoma, Hamoitzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, and Matzah. Why do you say karpas? You know why you say karpas? It's not because you really want to have celery or potatoes or whatever you want to have or whatever. Interesting. This is an excuse. The morrow, you have to make a bar for your adam on the morrow. Don't be so religious here. Don't go tell me, I'm making the morrow, I didn't make a bar for your adam. You made a hamoitzi? No, the hamoitzi, it's not machmas asuda. You know, you're too religious. You're too religious. You know why you made a bar? You know why you made a bar for your adama? You know why? You know the real reason why you made a bar for your adama? Because you want to make a bar for your adama. That's why. You know why? Because you're going to say later on another bracha called Hamoitzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Bread came out of the ground. What kind of bread? What kind of bread came out of the ground? Bread, you have the earth. And you know what came out of the ground? Bread! Wow! Bread comes out of the ground? You know how many things you gotta do to go from the ground to make into bread? No. I'm telling you, Mashiach comes, the Gemara, Gluska Yafa, bread came out of the ground. Wow, what kind of bread? Chametz or matzah? Oh, alachilas matzah. The bread that came out of the ground is Mechla Dimhem Nusa. Spiritual bread came out of the ground. But before you begin the Haggadah, remember that you know what comes out of the ground? A pre comes out of the earth. There's a pre, this potential. Before the process of Geula started, when Klal Yisrael was living in Egypt, you know what came out of the ground? Potential. A pre came out of the Adama. Arura ho Adama. The earth is cursed. The cursed earth produced a fruit, potential. And now when you finish the Haggadah, you know what came out of the ground? It's no longer called a cursed earth. It's called the Oretz, which is of Rotzayn. And you know what comes out? Not just a fruit, potential, fulfillment. Lechem. And you know what kind of lechem? Michla Dimhem Nusa. The reason why you say the Bar Pri Adama is not because Kedei Sheyishalu Hatinaygos, is not because Alam d'shadin, you need to go find a way to make a bar priyadam on the mar. I know that's the pshat. I know, I'm not just joking around with you. But I'm telling you, think different. Think out of the box. We want to contrast the matzah, with what has come out of the earth, Eretz Yisrael, Holy Land, spirituality. We want to contrast with what was before. When you started the Seder, the first thing you make is Boirei Pri HaAdama. When you finish the Avodah, that bracha we made, it's Hamoitzi Lechem Min HaAretz, a lechem of matzah. We want to contrast the two types of products that come out of the earth as a marshal for Klal Yisrael. Memela, we're going to make a Boirei Pri HaAdama. You can't make a bracha levatala? So work backwards to find an excuse of why you should make a Boirei Pri HaAdama for the real reason. In order to make that contrast between the Aruro HaAdama, you've been taken from this cursed earth, and look now at the end of the Seder, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, a land of bracha, and the earth is producing lechem, something of satisfaction, a product of sophistication that is spiritual. Not because you were slaves. Gilui Shechina is the matzah. When you say matzah zu, at shehigle alehem melech malchi amlochim hakadosh baruch hu. Gilui Shechina, from the aruro ha'adama to a product of this welt that is gilui Shechina. You got to work backwards to get that bracha in. So mainly you become a London to figure out an excuse to make a Boirei Pri HaAdama. Now this also ties into Sher Brachas, because Sher Brachas, you start out Asher Aslanus Arusa, Yisidlanus. There's also an element in the Sher Brachas of building up from the bracha Yoytzeh Adam, and at the end you come to Asher Bara Sasa in Vesimchas Mekala. You come to Adam version 2. The Sher Brachas is the progression of Adam. He came out of the ground. And at the end, the binyan adayad, it's a different Adam. It's a different Adam, Chava. There's a progression in the Sheva Brachas to, likewise, in the Seder, there's also a progression as you go from something that's just mundane and ordinary to something that is infused with pure spirituality. Okay, we'll stop here. I'm sorry for keeping you over time. Have a wonderful day.